And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're definitely going to be talking about a prophetic subject because we're going to be talking about the synagogue of Satan. I didn't make up that phrase, by the way, the synagogue of Satan. It's in Revelation 2 and in Revelation 3. God warns us in the last days about a great octopus-like monstrosity made up of human agents, but also satanic in dimension, that will encompass the whole world. And God, very wisely, as he always is, called it and calls it the synagogue of Satan. This is our enemy in the last days. You can argue with me all day about the Muslims and the Buddhists and the New Agers. I understand. I'm just telling you what God said. And people will get mad at me and say, well, you must be anti-Semite to be talking about the synagogue of Satan. And I say to that person, be very, very careful you're not blaspheming the Holy Ghost and committing the unpardonable sin, because it is God who identified the synagogue of Satan. And if you want to speak about what God said and God did, and you want to call it a lie or racist or bigoted, then I say, friends, I'm not a chance-taking man, but take your chances if you want to take that risk. I'm not going to do it. I believe what God said. If he warned us of the synagogue of Satan, he meant it. Now, I've all my life been a student of history, and I'm still studying, and I'm finding out incredible information, new discoveries, it seems every day. And I keep coming up with new history, new facts and documentation. And I find that most of the history books are flawed and, well, as used to say back when I was a kid, full of baloney. And I know baloney, friends, because I was raised quite poor and we didn't have the fancy cuts of meat. And, you know, a bologna sandwich was a pretty good delicacy for Tex Mars as a kid and my five brothers and sisters. So I know bologna. Let me put it that way. There's no doubt about it. Of course, when we didn't have bologna, we simply had a mayonnaise sandwich. And that's about what we existed on. I want to talk today about the synagogue of Satan and how it has spread its tentacles around the world, but especially in America. And I want to explain how this is done, how this synagogue of Satan has wrapped these horrible tentacles around us and is squeezing the lifeblood out of America. One of the ways this is done is through a group of people called the Sayanim. The Sayanim, S-A-Y-A-N-I-M. Now, that's plural. That's a plural word. The singular word there would be Sayan. One person would be a Sayan, more than one Sayanim. What is the Sayan? What is the Sayanim? This is a Hebrew word basically meaning agents. Let me bring it into, and there are other meanings for it too, but in the way I'm using it today, we will know it as agents, as undercover agents, as secret spies, as team partners, cooperative, working together collaboratively for a single purpose. In other words, they are of one mind. Now, the Bible talks in the last days about Mystery Babylon the Great, the Whore of Babylon, and the world empire that is set up under this Mystery Babylon. And it talks about the world rulers will all work in unison together because they are of one mind, for they give all of their power and strength unto the beast. They work together. They think alike. Their hearts are alike. It's easy to accomplish this. Some people say, well, how can you make people who are on different economic levels, different social levels, fat, tall, skinny, ugly, pretty, etc. How can you make them all work together? One way to do it is by deviltry. Folks, listen. The church of Satan is united in allegiance and worship to the infernal deity, you might call him, a false deity, Satan. And when Satan comes in men's heart, he puts the same germs, the same diseased feelings, thinkings, motivations in those hearts. And they deign, that is, they purposely designed to do evil. Whatever is their worldly occupation or socioeconomic level or even race, if they're of the satanic church, they work together to destroy the pure things, the good things, the righteous things of God. Likewise, the Sionim are Jews of the synagogue of Satan, and they may have never even heard of that phrase. But they think alike. They work alike. They consort together. They're spiritual whoremongers working together to do evil. And the synagogue of Satan is full of Satan. That's why it's called that. Satan is their choir director, their pastor, their youth director, and their general overseer and superintendent. I don't know why people can't understand that. It's more than just the synagogue of the Jews. It's the synagogue of Satan. Friends, let me just advise you of something here. There are two great churches on this planet, basically. We might call them churches. One is of God. One is of Satan. And guess what? Satan has denominations. You know, like Christians or Methodists and Baptists and all that. Well, they shouldn't be, but they are. Let's face it. They divide themselves unnecessarily, I think, but that's what they do. Satan has his denominations too, his divisions. But on one level, they are all united. And at the very top heap of the pyramid of Satan, leading it all, leading all of the various factions and separate sects, that's S-E-C-T-S, is the synagogue of Satan. It's the premier group. And within it, there are agents operating. Now, they may be Americans or Russians or Floridians or Ohioans or Texans. They may be from Alaska if they're America. They may be from New York. But one thing we know is they work together in concert, determined to obey their God. And they may not even know that they're operating on behalf of Satan. After all, Jesus said, they will kill you and think they do God service. Think about that. They will kill you and think they do God service. They'll kill Gentiles and say, oh Lord, I'm doing this for you, for your great kingdom. And of course, for the synagogue that is so holy and pure, of which I am a part. Thank God that I wasn't born a Gentile, that I'm born as a Jew, because we are God people. We are the chosen people. We are the people of the book, the people of God. We have been chosen to reign and rule on this planet. Thank you, O God. Not even realizing their God is Satan. Most pastors, of course, believe that Jews believe in the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yesterday I got in the mail, and I want to thank him, my good friend Michael Hoffman. He's done the fabulous books, Judaism Discovered, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, many other great books he's authored. One of the, perhaps the most eminent scholar in the world today on the subject of Judaism and the Talmud, the holy book of the Jews. For indeed they have a holy book other than the Old Testament, and it's called the Talmud. And the newest edition, it's a great big book, he sent me. Reverend Steinsaltz was the editor of that. He has been called by Time Magazine the greatest Jewish scholar of the last 10,000 years. Rabbi Steinsaltz. So he has put into English an authoritative edition of the Talmud. I'm talking about Rabbi Steinsaltz. Michael Hoffman saw the value of this edition. And I don't know, it probably cost $150 or something. It's huge. And he very kindly sent it to me because he knows that I'll get the message out. And Michael Hoffman wants the truth to become known. Michael Hoffman is a Christian, like you and I are. And if you're not a Christian today, I pray you will be. And he said, Tex, the value of this is that it is the top Judaic authority in the world today, affirming what we've been saying all along about the Talmud and showing what it really says. And of course, that Jesus is a bastard and his mother was a whore and he's burning in fiery excrement in hell. All those horrible things are found in the Talmud. But one of the things that's found is that the Talmud, the rabbis teach from their holy book, that all Gentiles should be killed, but especially the best of the Gentiles. They're the most dangerous, the smarter, more intelligent, hardworking people that are not Jews are to be put to death. And what is the means, the method of execution or death for the Gentiles? When the kingdom of the Jews is established on earth, it will be the beheading, which would go right along with Revelation 13. We are to be beheaded, our heads cut off for our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk about the Sionim today. And I say the Sionim, the agents of Satan that are Jews, are everywhere. And you may think they're your next door neighbor. They're the person that works for you. They're the man that lives down the street. They're a mayor, a butcher, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever their profession is. You may say they're just good, upstanding Jewish American citizens. Let me disabuse you. According to the Talmud and according to the Judaic authorities, according, for example, to the country of Israel and its leader, Mr. Netanyahu, there are no such thing. There is no such thing as Jewish Americans. They're not Russian Americans. I mean, Russian Jews. They're not British Jews. They're not Iraqi Jews. They're not African Jews. They're all citizens of Israel. And that's why any Jew living in the world that can prove that he's a Jew by race, by blood, lineage, is deemed a citizen of Israel and can go to Israel and live there anytime they want to. Not just anybody can do that. You've got to be a Jew. But you say, well, I was born in America. I'm an American. No, Israel says, no, you're a Jew. You're a citizen of Israel. At worst, they'll give you dual citizenship, but they'd like you to move to Israel. There is no such thing, then, as a Jewish American. They're all Israeli citizens living in America, born here, and given the opportunity, almost every Jew in America will betray this country. And I've seen it too often not to know that that's true. Harry Truman certainly knew the Jews backward and forward. Back in 1956, long after he left office, listen to what he told a friend. He said, when a Jew born and living in America talks to his Jewish companions about, quote unquote, our government, he means the government of Israel. Jews are all the time talking. I read all the Jewish publications, Commentary Journal, Forward Magazine, and so forth, the Jewish News, the Jerusalem Post, Jerusalem Report, and even all the American Jewish publications and the press talk about our country, Israel, our nation, our heritage, Israel. They bluntly say, because they don't think Gentiles will read these publications, they bluntly say we are for Israel first. And they don't even say America is second. Now, they're born here. They're in the Jews financially rank at the very top in, you know, per capita income. They are the billionaires, the multimillionaires, and the corporation chieftains, and they are, the Jews are Wall Street, for example, and they own the press, the publishing, on and on and on. And even though they're richly, financially rewarded in America and favored among all the races, they still have the audacity to say, we're not really Americans. Oh, they may tell you that, lie to your face. But when they're alone, when they're in their synagogues and in their own press, they say Israel is our country. Many Jews tell each other, we are guardians of Israel. I have heard one after another Jewish politician say, when I make decisions in the House of Representatives or the Senate or in the governor's seat or whatever, I always rule by asking myself this question, what is best for Israel? Can you imagine the governor of your state? Every decision he or she makes says, I will do what is best for Israel today. The head of the International Monetary Fund, Mr. Strauss-Kahn, told a reporter in Paris, every morning when I wake up, the first thing I ask myself is, what can I do good for Israel today? He was planning to run for the presidency of France. He was head of the International Monetary Fund, headquartered in New York. But he asked himself every day, every morning, today, what can I do for Israel to help Israel, my country? He's never lived in Israel. And to be frank about it, most of these people don't want to go live in that desert-stricken, God-forsaken country in the Middle East. They want all the plunder and pleasure and plushness of America and Europe or whatever country they live in. I mean, Lloyd Blankfein is CEO of Goldman Sachs, one of the most crooked, corrupt, and largest banks on Wall Street and in the world. He doesn't care to go live in Tel Aviv. He wants to stay in New York and London and Shanghai and all of his other fancy multimillion-dollar condos, luxurious as they are. Recently, Lloyd Blankfein was asked about his job. You know what he said? I work for God. What did he mean? Head of Goldman Sachs Bank? They steal, they rob, they lie. They're just a bunch of Wall Street devils. But who does he work for? God. Who is his God? Satan. How do I know this? The Bible says theirs is the synagogue of Satan. Why do you think Jesus told the Jews, your father is the devil? Did Jesus lie? Will you have the audacity, the gall to call Jesus Christ, Lord of all, a liar? Will you? Oh, be very careful of the words that you say and the thoughts you have when you make such railing accusations against the one who created the universe, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I talk about a Sayan, a member of this Sayanim class or group. Now remember, a Sayan or a Sayanim is an underground undercover agent. And what has happened is, in America today and around the world, the Israeli Mossad, remember Israel, the country of Israel, only has 7.5 million people. And the Israeli Mossad probably has no more than 10,000 agents worldwide. How do they magnify, multiply their operations? The multiplier effect comes when they go to private citizens in countries like the United States and recruit private citizens, bankers, teachers, lawyers, surgeons, corporation owners, professors at universities, politicians. They recruit them as spies. Yes, spies. Subverting America, but working for Israel. Just like in the days of communism, and by the way, we still have it. We know that Senator Joseph McCarthy was right when he talked about so many communist agents working actively in our government. We still have communist agents working in our government. There are red Chinese spies working in America today. But the greatest threat to America is the country of Israel, because otherwise loyal Americans put Israel first and say to themselves, yes, I was born here. Yes, I went to college here. Yes, I have been privileged here in America. I am rich beyond measure. We Jewish people. But this is not our country. Israel is in the Middle East. And we will do whatever is best for Israel. If we have to shaft and do dirty to America, we will do it. Whatever it takes to help Israel. I heard Charles Schumer, senator from New York. He probably didn't really know this was going to get out, but it got on YouTube. He's wearing his old Yarmulke skull cap, speaking at a synagogue. And he says, as you know, I'm one of the guardians of Israel. I always do what is best for my country, Israel. Shut up, Senator. You're Senator of the state of New York. There's 15 million people population in New York. And a good 90% of them are not Jews. You don't represent them, though. You represent Israel. You're the senator from Israel. Every congressman in the House of Representatives, we have Congressman Eric Cantor. He's the second ranking behind the House Speaker, Mr. Boehner. Who do you think Eric Cantor, a Jew, represents in the Congress? When an issue comes up like foreign aid to Israel, you think he's going to vote against it? When Israel wants another nuclear submarine or to help, you know, continue developing their nuclear weapons, they can get it behind the scenes from American congressmen. And the people, the government service spies they put into the Pentagon. Now, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, on page 127, I have an article entitled, Abraham Feinberg, the Jew Who Bribed Harry Truman. A lot of people don't know how the Nation of Israel came into being. At the end of World War II, America was the great superpower. The only other one that even compared, it was measly, was the Soviet Union and Stalin. Whatever America said in the world, it was there. That's what happened. We were kingmakers. And so the Jews went to Harry Truman and said, we would like for you to declare Israel a nation. We want to carve out of the territory of Palestine in the Middle East a nation for the Jews and call it modern day Israel. This had never been done before in the history of America, of course. And if Truman declared it and designated and recognized Israel as a nation, it would be a done deal. Now, I want to say that all the time, the communists of the Soviet Union were mainly Jews. They were in the driver's seat running the Soviet Union. And so they had already contacted Joseph Stalin, and he said, I'll do whatever you Jews want. And he was scared to death of them. He was watched every minute. His wife, Rosa, was a Jew. His second deputy, the deputy boss of all of the Soviet Union, was the powerful Lazar Kaganovich. The head of the KGB and the secret police were Jews for the most part, except for Beria, the last one, before Stalin died. And he was frightened of the Jews and would do whatever they said. After all, Lenin and Trotsky, his predecessors, were both Jews. So Stalin went along with it and said, yes, I will recognize for the Soviet Union Israel. But he told the Jews, you'll need the United States or it won't be done at the United Nations and elsewhere. So they needed Truman to do it. And Truman did not need Congress. He could just declare it so. He had that much power as president of the United States. A man named Abraham Feinberg, who owned a corporation in New York, but was really a Syan. In other words, he was an Israeli spy, even though there was no known modern nation of Israel until 1948. Nevertheless, there was a network, nest of spies in America working for the interest of the international Jews. Do you understand what I'm saying? They had an international government in secret. They even have the Sanhedrin, the religious council, in secret. They have their chief rabbis in secret. They had a government of the Jews. In fact, in 1898, we know of the World Zionist Congress that met and had as its objective or goal the founding of the nation of Israel. It was necessary to get the United States to go along with it. And so Abraham Feinberg, who was a scion, who, listen to this, we know now from the FBI files that have been released that he had 70 other scionim, that's Israeli agents, working for him. And this was in the days before there was a nation of Israel. You understand what I'm telling you? They have worked behind the scenes as Jews, working against the countries wherein they lived. Really all the way back to the days of the Roman Empire. The Romans, you know, banished them from Israel, destroyed Jerusalem. Wherever they went, they began to work together, like the mafia, like the Cosa Nostra, working silently, covertly, clandestinely. Whatever country they lived in, Switzerland, Austria, Turkey, America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, they come together in conferences, they work together, and they use their money, their clout, their influence for one reason and one reason only, for a kingdom of Israel. A dictatorship of the proletariat, headed by an Israeli king to come, a Messiah who will rule for the great serpent of the Jewish Kabbalah. That's right. Read my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You will see their true God is the serpent God, Satan himself. And the leading Jewish rabbis know who they worship. The average Jew doesn't. They think they worship some nebulous God, Jehovah. They don't know much about him because they don't read the Old Testament anymore. Even the rabbis don't read the Old Testament. You can go to the equivalent of a Jewish seminary called the yeshiva for 5 years and become a rabbi and not having read one verse out of the Old Testament. You say, Tex, can you prove that? Absolutely. The Jews know it. I used to work with rabbis in the chaplaincy in the Air Force. And I would ask the rabbi, do you study the Old Testament a lot? I don't study it all. That's a book of myths. A book of myths, I asked the rabbi. Yes, I study the Talmud. All the leading rabbis study the Talmud. We quote from the Talmud. Everything comes from the Talmud. It is our daily guide for living, not the Old Testament. It is a nice history book, but we know it is not even true. It's just sort of a nice guide. I said, in your seminary, he was an Orthodox Jew. You did not study the Old Testament? You did not read about Moses and Jacob? No. None of that's important, he said. He just dismissed it with his hand in the air, flinging his hand in the air, said the rabbi. No. He said, who cares of the Old Testament? The Talmud, that, he said, is life. The Talmud is life? Friends, the Talmud is death. And it is going to be the death of America if we allow the Syanim, agents of the Israeli Mossad spy agency, to continue operating in America. Now, when we come back in a minute, I'm going to tell you who is working in America today. I'm going to name some names of the Syanim, Israeli Mossad agents. Some of them don't even know they're working for the Mossad, but they are. You see, they've got a boss over them and a boss over them and a boss over him. They work together hand in glove for the glory of the coming Messiah, who is not Jesus, but is in fact the Antichrist, 666. I'll be right back after this brief message. Tex Mars back again. So great to be with you today. We're talking about the Jewish Syanim, the secret agents who have burrowed into every area of American society. They are Jews, But they're not American Jews, even if they are born here, because they put Israel first. Any person who puts Israel over America cannot be a loyal American. They are traitors to this country. And believe me, they will treacherously betray our great nation, its constitution, its founders, and our way of life. They put Israel first. Now, I expose the Sionim. They're everywhere in America. You say, well, boy, that sure sounds conspiratorial. Let me give you some of their names. And you will find these names in the explanations for the dirty work they're doing, these Israeli spies, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. The shocking thing is that not all of them are Jews. Not all who work for the Sionim, for the Israeli Mossad, and its sidekick agency, the Shin Bet secret agency, secret police, not all of them are Jews. There are even people who claim they're Christian Zionists who are betraying America every day. Bill Clinton, for example. He was a draft dodger who would not serve in U.S. military uniform. But a few years ago, he spoke to a big group of rabbis and other Jews, and almost with tears in his eyes, Bill Clinton told them that he loved Israel so much and he put Israel ahead so much of every other country, even of America, he meant, of course. He said, if Israel ever gets in another war with its Arab neighbors, I will personally go to Israel, put on a military uniform. I will be glad to die with a rifle in my hands, fighting for the nation of Israel. He was a draft dodger, for goodness sake. And now he's willing to fight and die for Israel? Rahm Emanuel, White House Chief of Staff under Barack Obama, is an Israeli citizen. But he claims he's a dual citizen. Now he's mayor of Chicago. They call him the Godfather there. And Chicago is practically the world capital of murders and homicides. The Godfather is presiding, but he was in the White House looking out for Israel every day. When the Persian Gulf War came up, did Rahm Emanuel volunteer to go and fight? Yes, he did. As American troops were fighting, and some of them dying there in the desert, in Kuwait, in Iraq, Rahm Emanuel very valiantly served also in the Israeli army as an intelligence officer. Do you get it? He went over to Israel and served in the Israeli military. He refused to serve as an American. I say send the jackal back to Israel and let him live there. He didn't want to serve our country. I did some research. I found out there was a Jewish war veterans group. I thought it was like the American Legion or the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW. Or the Vietnam Veterans Groups, or like Veterans Today, which is, by the way, an excellent website that you can go to, Veterans Today. I contacted them to ask them all about their organization. I thought it was a wonderful thing that war veterans got together, Jews, and here in America had their own organization. Guess what the head of the group told me? He said, Mr. Mars, you don't understand. We're the Jewish war veterans. We're not American Jewish war veterans. We're Jewish war veterans. I said, what does that mean? He says, we're made up of veterans who have fought for the Israeli army. We've gone to Israel. I said, but you're Americans? You were born here? Yes. But Israel is really our home. We never served in the American military. We went to Israel and served in that military. Then we came back. They came back, dear friends, because of the money, the bucks, the power, the influence they would have over us. But they don't love this country. They served Israel. I say, close down the Jewish War Veterans Group. Send them to Tel Aviv. They're not Americans. And you know, they deceive people. How many other people like Tex Mars? You drive by and you see a building with a sign on it that says, Jewish War Veterans. You say, well, isn't that wonderful? They served too. Well, as I said earlier, baloney. Made me sick, friends. The next thing you know, the Jewish war veterans, they probably are already getting it. We don't even know it secretly. There's probably been laws passed in Congress and they're probably getting paid VA benefits, U.S. veteran benefits. You say, well, our country would never do that. Are you kidding me? We've got 35 million illegal aliens that are fixing to get Obamacare, free medical care, and they're not even American citizens. You don't think they'd give the money to Israeli war veterans? Your money, your taxpayer dollars? Oh, our government would do anything because they're in control. The Zionim, the Israeli Mossad spies are in control. Listen to some of the names. Get this book. You must have Conspiracy of the Six Point Story. I don't know of any other book I've ever written as important as this book, Conspiracy of the Six Point Story. It'll tell you what's happening in the world today, what's going to happen tomorrow, and what happened yesterday. It'll tell you about George W. Bush and how we were set up by the Jews with him. It'll tell you what happened to Harry Truman, to Franklin Roosevelt. It'll tell you about the Jewish scientist and communist spy Oppenheimer in the Manhattan Project for the atomic bomb, and how the Jews stole the blueprint and the plans and the materials for the atomic bomb. It'll tell you about Rahm Emanuel and Abraham Feinberg. And by the way, after Israel became a nation because of the bribe, $2 million in cash given in suitcases to Harry Truman. That's right. That has come out. It's been verified. Feinberg has admitted. I've got it on tape. The tape of Feinberg admitting that not only did he give money in cash to Harry Truman, but he arranged it every stop on his campaign, whistle stop tour on his train. As Harry Truman would pull into a town on the train, he used to campaign from the back of a train like the old days. After his speech, a Jewish delegation from that city or town would secretly and privately go into Truman's car and give him cash in suitcases. The finest Jewish citizens of this city or that city would bring in all their money, just like they were given to a foreign potentate, a sheikh, a king, an Arab mullah. And they would say, "We are the Jews of this city or that city. Here is the money we promised you in order for you to make Israel a nation." Can you believe that? Abraham Feinberg admits it. It's on tape. He gave an interview and he said, this is how we did it. They're so blatantly bold and audacious now, they can admit that they've been bribing our politicians for all these years. The Zionim, the Israeli agents have. Even before Israel was a nation, they worked in these secret groups. And according to the FBI archives, yes, the FBI, in 2011, came out and said that Abraham Feinberg was the Israeli spy who in 1952, get this, used Jewish money to clandestinely obtain uranium and other nuclear materials that helped Israel make its first atomic bombs. Feinberg, according to the FBI, met regularly with Mossad, that's the Israeli spy agency, and the Shin Bet, that's their secret police, spy chiefs, Colonel Ephraim Ben Arazi, Reuben Shaloa, and Teddy Kollek. He led, get this, listen to this, folks. This is from the FBI archives. Feinberg, and he was one of hundreds like him, of Zionim, led a coterie, that's a group, or cabal, of 70 Israeli agents operating in the United States. He had 70 under him, and no doubt they each had 70. They work on the principle of 70s. You understand this, folks? This man, Abraham Feinberg, a Jewish millionaire who was chairman of a large New York manufacturer, Kaiser Roth Corporation, and was a quote-unquote investor in construction companies operating in Israel and in Manhattan, New York, had 70 Israeli agents working under him, and they stole our atomic bombs. And it was Jews, Zionim, that had earlier stole our atomic bomb plans and materials, and given them to the Russians. America, during the Cold War, stood in threat at any time being incinerated by the mushroom cloud of atomic bombs in our cities, by the Soviet Union, the communists. And how did the communists get these atomic bombs and put us under such dire threat that we cowered in our homes, in our factories, in our schools? Little kids would have exercises in which they would hide under the desk, shivering, worried about nuclear bomb explosions destroying their homes, their bodies, their schools, their lives, ripping America apart. We were under the threat of nuclear bombs. You've got to read about the Rosenbergs, the Jews who stole these plans, and many others. Oppenheimer, his security clearance was stripped from him. When other loyal American scientists went to the FBI and to the military chiefs and said, this guy is a spy for the Russians, but he was also a spy for Israel. Because the Jews ran Russia and they ran Israel, of course. And the very first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion from Poland, became prime minister of Israel. And he was a known heavy admirer of Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky and the communist. He himself was a communist terrorist back in Poland. And he and his other communist terrorist friends, working from a place called literally the Red House in Tel Aviv, carried out the purging, the murder, the assassination, the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. That's how they ruled and rule today in Israel. A bunch of communist freaks that came from the Soviet Union and the communist countries. And why do we have Obamacare today in America? Because they have the same system over in Israel. They have socialized medicine in Israel. And how do you think they pay for it in Israel? American taxpayer dollars. And there are more abortions per capita in Israel. There's only one country that has as many abortions per capita. That's Japan, a non-Christian country. Israel, a non-Christian country, has abortions. Who pays for the abortions? It's socialized medicine over there. Who pays for the socialized medicine? America gives its taxpayer dollars and foreign aid to Israel. And then they go out and murder little babies in their hospitals. And the American Christian evangelical clergymen keep their mouths shut and say nothing about it. I had a man wanted me to be part of his group, work with him as a prophetic ministry. This is before I learned all the truth. He said, Tex, you need a ministry to Israel. Advertise that you're going to help the Jews, and American Christians will shower you with money. That shocked me, him telling me that. You want to make a lot of money as a Christian ministry? Here's how you do it. Announce that you're pro-Israel, that you love Israel, that you're a Zionist, that you put Israel first, and all these American Christians will just shower you with money. They'll think they're blessing Israel by blessing Tex Mars. I left that dinner meeting with that gentleman. Let's just call him a gentleman. Wanda was with me. As we were driving away, I said, how did you feel about Arno Frosa of Midnight Call and Friends of Israel Ministries? What did you feel about what he said, Wanda? She said, it was satanic. I said, was it? Wanda said, it was. She said, I thought we were going there to hear how we could promote Jesus Christ and the gospel. And all he wanted to do was make more money by being pro-Israel. She said, you know what it was? It was just like the Word of Faith movement. It was prosperity gospel. Tell people that you're going to give some of the money to Israel and they'll shower you with cash. She said, Tex, that's not why we were called into the ministry. We were called to tell the truth, to preach the gospel. We're not even called to make money, she said. I said, you're absolutely right. I will never be part of that. I let them know. I let them know at that conference. Boy, the next thing I knew, they were blasting me from pillar to post, calling me an anti-Semite and everything else. I wouldn't go along with their plot, but all the other ministers, they go along with it. This very man, I asked him what he did with the money that he got, and he was raking in the millions. You know what he said? Well, we have this hospital project. I know there's socialized medicine. I know the government runs the hospitals, but they need the best equipment, the MRI machines and all that. And so we have sent over $1 million a year to this hospital. I said, don't they perform abortions in all those hospitals in Israel, including that one? Well, yeah, but don't mention that. Don't talk about those things. You'll turn people off. Yeah. My friends, God knows. When Tex Mars speaks here in this ministry, I speak for God. Now, some people say that's pretty bold of you saying that. What I mean by it is this. I speak
the truth. For God holds me accountable. And any time I stray from telling you what's really the truth, I expect God to punish me. You say, has he always done so? Well, it's pretty well worked out that way. I'm 67 years old. And listen, friends, I'm only scared of one entity in this entire universe. I fear God most of all. I will tell the truth because God requires it of me, and because it's the right thing to do, and because the Bible says if you sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit who is inside you. The Holy Spirit, you're sealed as a Christian with the Holy Spirit, and your conscience knows. If I tell even a white fib to you, or if I stretch the truth even the inciest, tiniest bit, my heart bulges and says, uh-oh, you did the wrong. So I've just learned not to do that. That's punishment in itself. I'm not going to know. It may get me in trouble with the world powers, but I'm going to tell the truth. Now, and that's what I'm doing today. I'm telling you these things. And for it, I'm given brickbats. And they all say you're anti-Semite. Okay, well, go ahead. Call me what you want. Just don't ever say I'm a liar. Because then you better prove it, friends. And the problem is these people who complain about Tex Mars being an anti-Semite, they know better than to call me a liar because we have the truth on our side. A woman wrote to me this week, take me off your list. What you said about the Holocaust, that some things about the Holocaust didn't happen, that offends me. I wrote her back and said, well, I'm sorry the truth offends you, but I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please God and to tell the truth. But I would so much appreciate it if you would let me know what lies I've told about the Holocaust. Of course she didn't come back. Of course she didn't answer my letter. I've offered to make public apologies for any things I've said that are not true about Israel. I never hear from these people. They never, you know, they never come back. Well, it's just not right. It's not true. You've offended the Jews. You've offended me. Oh, it's not true? Can you give me one instance? Well, no, there's a bunch of them. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of them. Baloney again. But you can't point out one. No, of course not. I want to tell people how to get my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. If you want this book, and I hope you do, I pray you do, it's a huge book. It's like an encyclopedia. It's 432 pages in all with its index and its all the rest of it. Amazing things in this book never told, never revealed before. You'll see a picture of a six-pointed star and a great sea dragon on the front cover. And the book explains exactly what those mean. The true meaning of the six-pointed star, the meaning of the dragon, the serpent, and how the Jews, the rabbis, actually believe in the great serpent as their deity, their God. I know you say, Tex, I go by a synagogue on my way to work every day. I can't believe they're worshiping Satan in there. Well, Jesus lied then, didn't he? He told the Pharisees, that's the Orthodox Jews, you're of your father the devil. But Jesus is a liar. Is that what you're saying? Well, I say to you, baloney. You better watch out, friends, if you're going to call Jesus a liar. Okay, this book is, say, $30, $30, $5 shipping and handling. A total of 30. Good, Jerry. Jerry's over there correcting me. He always does that because I don't pay attention to the prices and all those things. But we have to print the book. We have to send it out. And it's a big book. It's about the size of three regular books. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. A total of $30. It includes shipping and handling. A total of $30. Just phone us toll free. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, of course, powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com. Remember the E on the end of the Tex and the double R in the Mars. Oh, I love being a captain in the Air Force. Captain Mars, the man from Venus. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And powerofprophecy.com, you can click on that and order the book with PayPal or your charge card. As I said, our phone number, 1-800-234-9673. Monday through Friday during the workday, Central Standard Time. We'll be delighted to talk with you. And every time you order something from us, we make sure that you get our newsletter. We give you a 6-month free subscription to that. Of course, many of you read the newsletter by going to powerofprophecy.com. All the feature articles and the videos and everything we post there, absolutely free. We don't charge you for if they're on that website. Of course, you can order our DVDs and other materials separately as well. And I know you will enjoy those. I particularly recommend the one Masonic Lodge Over Jerusalem, how the Masons and the Jews worked together as satanic instruments from that video, that DVD. And, of course, let's see, how else can they get this thing? Write us. Yeah. Okay. Our address is Power of Prophecy, or just write to Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And those of you who have been friends of the ministry for quite a while, you know we've been here about 26 years now. We've been here a long time, a lot of seniority, a lot of tenure, and they beat us around the heads and punched us in the stomach and ripped us from pillar to post. And I'm talking about the authorities that want to shut us down. And guess what? We're still here. We're still laughing. We're still having fun exposing evil. I think it's great. Jesus is good, isn't he? He's wonderful. All right, let's return now. We're deep into the program. I'm deep inside on the second side. But I wanted to tell you about the psionym that are everywhere. I told you about Feinberg, and they had a little team of 70 spies working for him. They stole our nuclear secrets. They paid a bribe to Truman to become a nation. Rahm Emanuel is one of them. Guess who gave us Monica Lewinsky? You see, I discovered that Monica Lewinsky, as a young operative, stupid as she is, was taken over to Israel and given special training. And then she was brought back and placed by Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel worked as one of the chief confidants of Bill Clinton in the White House. Then he left and became a congressman, a Wall Street big boy. And then he went to Chicago, where he was put with Barack Obama, and then eventually showed up as the White House chief of staff. There you have Rahm Emanuel. I put him on what I call Swindler's List at the White House. But he indeed was a psion, or is a psion. Monica Lewinsky was placed in the White House, and she was told as a little receptionist that there's a man here who has his eye out for the women, and he likes to do things with women. You know what I mean? His name is William Jefferson Clinton. And she made sure that Mr. Clinton saw her, and there you go. She did it for Israel. Whore for Israel, Monica Lewinsky. Sarah Palin is most definitely an Israeli operative of the Mossad. So is Joseph Lieberman, Senator. John McCain, I mean, that man is nothing but an out and right psion, a psionm spy for the Israelis. Lindsey Graham, queer as a $3 bill. They get a lot of guys by at first forcing them to sign up by finding some Panama, some dark stain, some dirtiness in their past. Because if you become a high-level politician or a businessman or even a professor or a writer, believe me, the Jewish psionm are put on your trail and they watch you. You check into a hotel with a mistress. You think your wife's not going to find out? Nobody's going to find out? Guess what? They might have a camera in the room there. The hotel may be run or owned by a psion, a psionm agent. Now remember, they may not get a phone call but once in their lifetime from the Mossad operating out of the Israeli embassy in America. And they're said, Mr. Goldman, you know, you're the manager there of the Hilton Continental Hotel there in Miami. We have a little project for you. We'd like your help. Can you help Israel out in its time of need? And the psion, who's the manager there, says, I will certainly will. And your goose is cooked. Suddenly they have film of you with your mistress. And you're going to work for them from then on. If you don't, the whole world will know about what you've done. That's why so many people suddenly are outed. You know, this senator, suddenly we find out he's got a mistress and even a child out of wedlock. How did that happen? This it suddenly leaked to the press. Who do you think owns the press? The CNM at work. Now, Vice President Biden is absolutely one of the CNM. I mentioned Oppenheimer, who was in charge, literally, of the atomic bomb development project, the Manhattan Project. Henry Kissinger is not only Jewish, but a CNM. And he did and has done his dirty work over the year. The Council on Foreign Relations, 75% of its members are Jews. Most are part of the CNM. Newt Gingrich is absolutely one of the CNM. And that's why when he ran for president, the Jewish casino mogul of Las Vegas and Macau in China, Mr. Adelson, gave him millions of dollars for his campaign. By the way, Gingrich's second wife, Marianne, when Gingrich was House Speaker, she was in charge of putting, she was given the job by Gingrich of placing Jewish spies in positions as secretaries, legislative assistants. So the House of Representatives was showered with Jewish spies working in every office. Did you know that Senator Rick Santorum, who ran for president this time on the Republican campaign trail, when he became senator, it was arranged by the other senator from Pennsylvania, Senator Spector, who was Jewish and a 33rd degree Mason to boot. It was arranged for Rick Santorum to bring into his office staff, his Senate staff, a person to watch over them, a rabbi from New Jersey. A rabbi became head of the office of Rick Santorum. The CNM owns Rick Santorum. Bill Clinton got married to a nice Methodist girl from Chicago. Come to find out, she was from a Jewish family. Hillary Clinton, a member of the CNM. Nancy Pelosi evidently comes from Italian background, but she married a rich millionaire Jew, no doubt a CNM. Stalin, they say, was a Gentile, but he had three straight Jewish wives, CNM, who were watching over him. It goes on and on and on. Dick Morris, CNM. Rachel Madoff of the press, CNM. The JFK assassination, of course, was partially carried out with the help of the Mossad and the CNM. The evangelical community, the Paul and Jan Crouches, the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Pat Robertson, the Knights of Malta. How about Judge Roberts, CNM? Mitt Romney, Bain Capital, chairman of the board, Odit Gadish of the Israeli Mossad. Mitt Romney worked for the Jews and their CNM. Facebook, MySpace, Google, Microsoft, Dale, Yahoo, all run by rich billionaire Jews. How did they get to be head of those corporations? Yeah, they were helped. They were helped. And then they became the watchers of us all. We're watched on the internet constantly by the CNM. Homeland Security, the CNM. Big Brother and the police state, the CNM. The octopus is ever watching, ever growing, destroying America, working for the dictatorial Antichrist coming kingdom of Israel. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking today about the Jewish secret agents spread throughout America. There are hundreds of thousands, maybe over a million, of the Jewish CNM. Until next time, my friends, please continue to pray for this ministry, and we'll pray for you when you have prayer needs. And I beg of you to tune in each week for this vital information. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.